Look in my eyes for my mind state. I'm on the grind 25A. Money on my mind, that's how I play. If you got it now, this what I say.
Episode 27,
Swerve City Podcast. I forget every week, but here we are, y'all. Episode Eddie George.
Eddie George.
Yeah.
Titans. Another, shout out to the Titans, man.
Yeah, what's another number 27? Famous number 27 athlete out there. I can't even think.
Don't ask us.
Soccer players.
Is 27 is not a very common number.
What are the common numbers in soccer?
Seven, 10, 1, obviously, goalkeepers.
Is it?
Yeah, the goalkeepers always.
But any single digits would be goalkeepers, right?
Well, the one is always the main goalkeeper, okay. I guess.
But anyway, welcome back to Swerve City Podcast, man. We got a really special one coming. We got the NXT Tag Champs right here, Imperium, Fabian, Marcel.
Welcome. Thanks for having us. Thank you very much for having us.
Pleasure. These are my brothers from overseas.
Hell yeah.
From across the pond.
Exactly. Hell yeah.
Coming through here. Man, these are some of the most cultured people I know. Because I'm like, yo, how do you know about old... Yo, some of the music now as they get old?
Yeah.
You're going to have fun with this one.
Okay, good.
But before
we get
into this,
good.
We got to do a shout out. Actually, first of all, we got what you been up to, dog?
Well, first thing, I want to give a shout out to everybody that's been supporting the music, that has been supporting the grind. We've been in the studio working hard on our next project, GPS/Erica Sun. It is a double disc. If you guys have not seen the announcements on social media, it is kind of like the Love Below speaker box. You are getting a conglomerate of a group album. Erica Sun album from myself, the group album GPS from me and my brother right here. You are getting a whole 20-track project, and it is amazing. The stuff that has been in the studio has been some of the best music I've made in my life. I say that every album because I feel that way. And you know, you're supposed to say that too. And you know, it feels amazing. Also, really quick, Mike, if you have that graphic, really quick, I want to make a quick announcement. That January of 2021, I will be back and legally be able to, in the state of Florida, be able to make my motivational speaking tours again. It is something I've been going to school for communication off and on for my communications degree for the past 10 years. I know I could have just gone and get it done, but life happens. And, you know, you got to get other stuff done. Other things got in the way, like having 25 kids. But outside of that, I'm very, very proud and feel very, very happy to be getting back there. Hopefully the earliest I can get back into the schools is January 2021. Shout out to Jessica Lorenzo for hooking me up. There was three goals I had in my life I wanted to do, which was make music, be involved in the wrestling game, and motivational speaking. I finally got a door open to be able to get back into the classrooms. For anybody who was wondering, my range group will be between 6th and 12th grade. I love you little kids, but I do not have the...
No.
My curriculum ain't that. So, 6th to 12th grade, I will be speaking to. It'll be probably a weekly. I'll probably do 2 or 3 speeches a week and during the days. And I can't wait to get back to it. That is a speech I did a couple years ago. And I can't wait to get back. So thank you guys. And support. Follow me at TZ Scott to follow
like
that journey.
You're like a substitute teacher that nobody listened to.
Yeah, a little bit.
Nobody listened to me, bro. I'm like, hey, bro, what this projector? Well, let's put this movie on. And that substitute teacher just put the projector with the movie on.
They threw a stapler at you right after you were.
Did you take attendance? Not really. No, I didn't. But
you lost 4 kids. One's out the window right there.
So yeah, I'm happy to be back and get back at that too. So that's another thing I'm working on. So thank God for that opportunity. I've been wanting to do that forever. So glad to be back.
What's something y'all wanted to do forever?
Sitting right here on the Swerve Podcast.
Damn right.
That was nice.
Yeah,
smooth.
Damn right.
Smooth.
Wow.
Still going.
This still, yes. Damn
smooth,
right.
I was about to say the same thing.
Yeah.
Just the same thing.
These are what dreams are made of. Swerve City Podcast. Shout out Round Seattle. Thank you for everything. Sponsor of the Swerve City Podcast. And if you're tuning in right now, you can subscribe. YouTube.com/Swerve City Podcast and pledge on Patreon. Patreon.com/Swerve City Podcast. Now, without further ado, we going over right here to the guest of the evening, the NXT Tag Team Champions, Imperium. What it do, baby?
What's going on?
I said, what it do, baby?
I felt something was coming.
Yeah.
I was just waiting for you to answer so I could lean back and check out what's happening.
Figured you out already.
Yep. I almost choked on Swedish Fish doing that, too, by the way.
Swedish Fish again. I like
it. We ain't sponsored by y'all, so.
You think by the end of the episode you can try one?
Maybe.
That's your goal to get you have 45 minutes to an hour to get him to try one.
Let's not give it to them right away, right? I'm gonna keep teasing.
There you go, there you go.
Maybe push the bag over closer to him anyway. Whatever we gotta do to get it started. Yep. But so let's get into the backgrounds, man. We got Marcel, Germany, Fabian, Italy. The culture differences for coming over to America, man. There has to be tons of them. What were your biggest, like, I'd say the differences you've seen and some of the biggest, like, barriers you had to, like, kind of really, like, ooh, this was a little tougher to get accustomed to?
Dude, so many things. It's hard to actually pick one.
Pick them all.
One of the best things, and I keep telling my friends and my family in Germany about it, is just people being super polite.
Really?
Every American keeps telling me, yo, that's a Southern thing. You go to New York, you go here, you go there, that's totally different.
He's from New York, so.
But honestly,
everybody want to fight up there. everybody talks like this all the time, and you're like,
aggressive.
Right? Yeah, well, that sounds like German right there, so, you know.
Ooh.
It's not hard, like, it's.
How are y'all libraries?
You know?
we'll be here all day.
People are super polite, man. People hold the door open for you. Thank you, and you're welcome. And like you slightly touch, oh, I'm sorry. It's just
that's
very nice. You almost feel bad walking out of your house in a bad mood because everybody's smiling. Everybody's nice. Like I remember the first time, at the immigration. And, you know, I had a little crap in my pants. I'm like, oh, man, this is the moment. Because you hear all sorts of stories, right? Oh, they're going to ask you
detained.
Where you're from. What's your name? What did you do? Blah, blah, blah. Show me your record. All this kind of stuff. And the first thing the guy asked me was, hey, how are you? And I was totally, I was out already. Because I didn't expect that. Like, in Germany, you don't say how are you to people you don't know. It's hello. What do you want? it's more like hello. All right. Give me something. There's very little small talk in Germany. So I had my whole thing ready and I was about to go. You know, I'm here for wrestling and WWE, blah, blah, blah. And I was about to go and he's like, yeah, how are you? I'm like, I'm good. Thank you. You know, I didn't expect that. So people being nice and polite over here is one thing that I'm really happy about. And like every day, that's just a benefit in my life. I really, really
it's funny because I can't stand small talk. I try to ignore people as much as possible.
Really?
In airports especially.
I feel like it depends on the person a little bit, I guess, right? Sometimes if you're like...
Situation too. I guess you want to talk less than 5 a.m. at an airport.
Headphones in means I don't exist.
Yeah. True, yeah.
Exactly.
True,
yeah.
True. People still try to... Hey, how's it going? Oh, so you wear Nikes too. Yes, we all wear Nikes. Get away. Leave me alone.
I love that one.
Hey, sorry.
The universal, like, hey, I'm going to talk to you.
Right?
We was at the airport, and I was talking. We have a good rapport with each other, so we know he has these headphones on. I know we always talk to you when to be bothered. So we was at the airport going to Seattle, and I was like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, and he just like,
ooh.
And I'm just like talking to myself for like 5 minutes. I'm like, bro. He's like, huh? Yeah.
Let me eat my breakfast sandwich. God.
This loud talking, just looking at my phone. Yeah, bro, so you know it's crazy. That man, that song, and he just zoned out.
So. Especially when it's a flight from Orlando to Seattle.
Yeah, ain't much to talk about, bro.
No.
I'm sitting right next to you,
bro. We got 5 hours to talk.
Yeah.
I'll meet you somewhere in the Western Hemisphere.
Save some for later.
Yeah. Ask me how I'm doing.
It's like the guy turning up the radio, like, slightly while you're talking. Like, louder and louder and louder.
I love, that's me. Or I'm the guy who does it on the TV remote.
Just like louder.
Whatever, yeah, the game's on.
See, polite though, very polite.
Yeah.
You know, you don't say it right away. You don't say it right away. That's like.
I ease into it, but if you don't get the Iggy.
Yeah.
Then we kind of got to turn up the volume a little bit.
Yeah.
What about yourself coming over?
Man, honestly, for me, I loved it. Because, like, yeah, I saw Arnold when I was 5 years old, and, like, my dad told me who he was and whatever, and that he moved to the States. And, like, such a similar upcoming, because he grew up in a tiny village with a couple of thousand people, same as me, then went to Germany, then to England, and then here. So, funny enough, we have that same path, but ever since I saw him, I was always a big fan of the States, always wanted to move here since I was 5 years old, and, like, I'm a huge fan of The Simpsons, so... When I moved here...
That's always the connection. It's funny. I'm telling you. Everybody's always a Simpsons fan.
I'm telling you. Like, I love The Simpsons. And when I moved here, there was so many things that reminded me. It's like, that's Simpsons, you know? Like, there's one thing that I always comes to mind is, like, when you call somebody, you know, because, like, there's 2,000 people living there. Like, yeah. There's more people go to school here, you know?
Yeah, very true.
But, so if you want to call someone, you talk to a person instantly. Whereas right. here, like, you call a number. If you want to do this, press 1. You want to do this? Press 2. And I'm like, that's totally Simpsons, you know? It's totally Simpsons. So, like, I always loved it. And ever since I came here the first time for, like, I don't know, 2014, I always, like, wish I could live here and not finally happen. So I'm super thankful to be here.
What would you say is, like, the biggest adjustment? Like, because, you know, you come from somewhere else in another country. You're like, you know what? When I first got here to America, this is the one thing. It's, like, still to this day, probably, it takes you a bit to get used to. What is something... It could be like the language barrier, could it be something that somebody does?
Honestly, sometimes it's the English language because they're another Simpsons thing right there. Like Germans have a word for everything.
Right.
Well, I'm trying. You know, his English is better, but you know, whenever Simpsons. It's funny, like there are so many American things I never heard of. So we're texting with somebody the other day and he replies, all right, C4.
What do you mean? I don't even know what that means.
Dude, like, did he fall asleep and, like, his head crashed on him? Like, what is C4? And he said, oh, yeah, it's like copy. It's like, you know, whatever, thumbs up. Yeah, okay.
I don't know. I've never heard that one. Y'all heard C4?
No, 10-4.
10-4.
10-4.
C4, 10-4.
I'm like, C4,
you got to excuse me. I'm sorry. It's 10-4.
It's like, military language for a affirmative,
right? Way too much war zone.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Well, that's C4. Yeah, well, 10-4. Sorry, guys.
Even in the military, we don't even use 10-4 anymore. We just copy.
It's crazy. Like, stuff like that happens to me all the time. Like, red eye was another one. Yeah, I've been on that red eye. I have no idea what that means. Yeah. Like, what do you mean red eye? It sounds like it's like pink eye to me. I have no idea. Like, what do you mean? You have an infection in your eye? Like, what is red eye, bro? Like,
we need to stay away from each other.
Right? Dude, crazy, but he knows all that stuff.
Keep it simple.
Yeah, right.
But then our English language can get like very complex as well, because one word can mean like 7 different things as well. Like can.
Yeah. True.
Or like, you know, like doing music, writing That's music, true. I'm finding That's all true. These words. I'm like, I can use this word like 3 different ways, 5 different ways, 4 different ways, and I can keep the rhyme scheme going a little bit longer.
Right.
But that's how complex English can be. That's why hip hop is so the wordsmiths on there are like, we call them machines. Like Eminem is like a machine to me in my mind, because he just uses words. It's so crazy. But like, imagine a German Eminem. I would love to see that.
Bro,
I would love to see how
somebody I'm educating him. I'm educating him when it comes to that. Bro, I'm very late 90s hip hop. I'm really like, I can't tell you. If you tell me about like who's cool with me, bro.
You said you're cool. You cool. Bro.
Who is it nowadays? Like Lil Uzi and Da Baby and NBA.
Y'all need to leave my Uzi alone.
I have no idea. I have no idea who that. Like, I don't know.
Except Uzi. I just, for what he is.
Bro, I don't know. I don't know Dr. Dre. I know Snoop Dogg. I know Tupac. I like those kind of people. Yeah. I know Nate Dogg. I love Nate Dogg. Like, you know those guys. 213 and those guys. Like, I love that stuff. That's my stuff.
Hey, like, I'm a California guy.
That's my stuff, you know?
You cool, man.
And like,
you all right, man. You know that?
Brother, you know? Just, I'm not sure if that's a popular opinion, but to me, the first two Eminem albums, which was Slim Shady LP and
Marshall Mathers,
to me, best hip-hop albums ever, in my opinion. And I'll tell you why. As a wrestler, Eminem was a guy who had an actual gimmick. Slim Shady, the darkest of the dark. Like, every human being has weird thoughts, but he would never express, he would never say. But Slim Shady is that little 0.1% of the human being that is so dark and so bad, you know, that he would actually say it. I love that. I think that was awesome.
I always think there's double-edged swords with that, because he also, like, crossed over with that rock audience as well. That was allowed to do that. hip-hop, there wasn't too many people that were allowed to do that. So he kind of had played both sides of that.
Right.
In a way.
I feel like in the... When did they come out, those albums?
One was Marshall Mathers.
Yeah, but what year? You know,
2001.
2001. Mm-hmm. So, I don't, at least in Germany, everything he said, everything he did with his chainsaw and stuff was just never seen before. I've never seen anything like this before. Germany's super, I guess... old school in that when it comes to that, I guess. I don't know.
I can see that.
But everybody was shocked. Like, there's that guy with that hockey mask and, like, that chainsaw and, like, you know, doing stuff and, like, rapping about doing horrible things to his wife and this.
Right.
Never seen before. Like, never. And actually, after that, a couple of German guys picked that up and pretty much the same career, just German standards, obviously, in Germany. So they kind of saw it from the States and adapted to it a little
bit. So how'd you guys adapt, like, being from... You know, being from different countries, like, what's the first time you heard, like, different music? Or, like, were you guys, like, younger, and then you see, like, Eminem on TV and Dr. Dre and 50 Cent, and then he's like, yo, who are these guys? And they're speaking a different language.
Especially with the language barrier, because you know multiple languages.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, how many, like, languages you know?
Three.
Three? Okay.
German, Italian, and English. But, like, with us, for example, or where I lived, like, it's just tiny mountain village somewhere up there. So we still had, like, the top charts or whatever, so we would still get music from the States and so we knew, like, the really big tracks. But I, like, he totally introduced me to 90s rap, and I love it, like Biggie and Tupac, and
that's awesome. That's a heavyweight class.
It's like
he's funny though. He's the type of guy, he does cardio and then he learns, like, each and every word of the lyrics. I don't want to put him on the spot right now, but he has, like, a couple of B.I.G. songs down. I'm just saying, like, he could somebody give him beat.
You did him right, bro. You fed him chicken soup for the soul.
Like, spoon fed that one. But
Germany's a highly influenced by American music.
Yeah.
Basically, totally. I would say until 10 years ago, 99% was American music.
Yeah.
The biggest stars were, like,
you got the big hits here, you totally know about it in Europe, for sure. Like, you'll hear them all over, definitely. Yeah.
And
they
say, too, that it's like every artist I've talked to, from the smaller guys to the biggest, like, Europe has the most loyal fan bases. That's why they love going overseas.
Yeah.
Because they know they're going to have a loyal fan base.
Yeah.
They're going to have people loyal to them. Every arena is going to get packed.
The zombies. Flatbush zombies.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Their tours are overseas are insane. Sell out everything. Like, thousands of people. Like, crazy.
Well, it must be crazy for American people sometimes, too, because you can do things in Germany you can't do over here.
Ooh.
Eminem was always very funny. Like, if people want to check that out, like, in German, there's a German show called TV Total, and he would just cuss. Like, he would get a question, but he wouldn't even acknowledge the question. He would just cuss, like, random German words he learned. I love Germany. I can say whatever I want, you know? Yeah. Well, okay. So he kind of, you know, stuff like that, like having, I don't know, like, open bottles on the street and stuff like that. That's just normal. Remember when we went to Europe the first time with NXT and one of the Forgotten Sons, I think, they were blown done with away, everything. Yeah, they were blown away because people, like, peed on that little open container gimmick on the street. There's like an open container thing, and there's like a wall so you can't see through, but you go in there, you do your business, and then you go out. They're like, what do you mean? Like, open street? You can pee on. What are you talking about? You know? Like, it's just crazy. It's just, it's like really like a different planet sometimes.
I think it's always a bigger shock when Americans go over there rather than Europeans come over to America. Yeah.
Well, you've been there. First time I met you.
I was like raised over there because, like, I was military.
You told me that, yeah.
Yeah, so I was there till, like, I was 7 years old. So, like, but as an adult, seeing those certain things are a little different.
Yeah.
You know, I got to go out and experience those things myself rather than my father taking me to the streets and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So those are two different things, but, like, experiencing it as an adult is where I fully got the experience of, like, being overseas.
Right.
You know, so, but that's awesome for me. I loved it.
What countries did you wrestle? England, Germany?
I did Switzerland one day.
Switzerland?
Yeah, that was like we drove in and out.
I'm sorry, man.
No,
not a Swiss fan.
Well, I like the country. Just the wrestling business over there is horrible.
Yeah,
always
man.
Been.
I mean, I was with WXW, so we went as a. Yeah, but yeah, I was in Frankfurt. Is where I was, like, stationed.
Hmm.
Like, we were all stationed, based in Frankfurt, Budigen and Hanau.
Right.
We moved around. Can't remember specifically which one was which as being that young.
Right.
But I remember those countries. And I remember, like, a lot of big hills and stuff like that. It's just, like, it's very spotty.
It
I just remember certain things.
Yeah.
But that was a great childhood for me, though. Not about my childhood. Let's talk about y'all childhood. Like, you know, second generation.
Yep.
Wrestler.
Exactly, yeah.
Talk about your father and looking up. Were you looking up to him? Who were you guys? Definitely, were you looking up to your father or other people you
know? No, definitely. It was, so since the first wrestling tapes I've seen were the tapes of my dad. And they were totally different than everything you would see in WWF, right? Mm-hmm. Very mat-based, very bad quality, super dark and everything. And they would wrestle in gigantic tents with like 4,000 or 5,000 people there. And they would do tournaments over like 30 to 60 days. So every day people would like fill their tent up with like 4,000 or 5,000 people. And it was more of that beer drinking, chanting, football, soccer kind of crowd, right? But it was very honest and very emotional, you know what I mean?
Right.
I think nowadays a lot of stuff is very...
Boom, look at that, man.
There he is.
Oh, there he is. Oh, that was like super young too, wow. Yep.
Look at
crazy.
Brash young man. Oh,
very, very, very young. He wouldn't like that. He always liked himself. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Look like he had to fight Rocky in a movie.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Even Drago style. I get that a lot, too.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
So around what time do you think that picture is?
That must be like 1955.
Wow.
My dad was born in 1933.
Ooh.
During crazy times in Germany.
Yeah.
So my dad, being 12 years old, he already served for two armies, the Germans and the French.
Wow.
God.
Yeah, as a little kid, he actually flew from home over the border and went to the French Legion.
Okay.
One of the hardest armies in the world. Like, French Legion is tough. And crazy life. Like, long story short, he signed up. You got to sign up for 5 years. They took him to North Africa. He flew from that. That's why when my mom took all of my sisters and me, sisters and brothers and me, my siblings, to Disneyland, we could never take him with us. Because how is it called when you flee from your army? If you leave them,
AWOL? AWOL, yeah.
So you leave them and that never they could have still arrested him for that. So he was never allowed to, even like 40 years later, he wasn't allowed to go to Disneyland Paris with us. Whatever. I grew up with my dad being like the proudest man I've ever known. Like for him it was always wrestling. He was married 5 times because there was always wrestling and wrestled on every continent of the world. And man, I've never met anybody who was so proud and so 101% wrestling all the time. Like, that's how I grew up. And a lot of the Imperium things we're saying, the matter sacred, all that stuff is from my dad. My dad would teach me literally as a kid, this, my son, that's the mat, and that is sacred. That's where I get goosebumps talking about it. Because he was so proud of it and all that, you know. So I grew up that way. And obviously, I was a fan of all the WWF stars, right? I loved them. Like Shawn Michaels and all those guys were my heroes, obviously. But then I always had the different side of wrestling, too, which was the European style, right? Not quite World of Sports, but, you know, still different. And, yeah, for me, it was always obvious that I want to like, fill my father's footsteps and want to become a wrestler and... Yeah, you always encourage me to do it too. Wrestling is not a big thing in Germany, amateur wrestling, not like in America, unfortunately. Yeah. So I started with boxing when I was 9, did that for 4 years, then started amateur wrestling because we moved, and did that for a year. And then finally grabbed my dad's old boots out of his closet, fit perfectly. My first 10 years I wrestled in my father's boots, each and every match. Ooh. And yeah, that's how it all began. He saw me wrestle, he saw me... I don't know if you have you been to Hamburg with WXW?
Yes, I have.
Great city, right? Great audience, everything. He saw me actually winning the titles, tag team titles with Mac back in the day.
The Mac.
Yeah. You know, Hamburg's finest, the Mac.
Yes.
We won the tag team titles. He saw me and all that kind of, that was highly emotional. That was like,
yeah.
He dropped the microphone after that match and said, my son, right there, he said, my boy, you're going to be a great one, and I love you, and I'm very proud of you, and I still get goosebumps from that. It was probably the best moment of my life.
I remember that young guy right there. This was what year was this?
That was 2014, I want to say.
14?
I think so.
13, that's when 14. I started coming over there.
Yep. You've been over more than once, right?
Yeah, multiple times, but I remember 14 was my first time there with the World Triangle League. That was my first trip over there.
Dude, those are great.
Oh, yeah.
Great times, good team.
We also have over here a professional skier, former professional skier, or you still professional? You still hitting them slopes, bro?
No, probably not a smart idea considering the job, you know. But I was a pro skier.
How did that come about? Being coming from a small village too.
Yeah. Well, so the village or the region where I grew up is still part of Italy, but it used to be a part of Austria. Just became a part of Italy with the World War. That's why I speak German and like we get along and everything. And you know, it's like in the middle of the mountains, like in the middle of the Alps. So like after I saw Arnold, I was looking for that special thing that I wanted to do with my life. So mm-hmm. I like tried soccer, tried handball, and like almost made the national team there. He always makes fun of me.
Not yet.
Go for it.
Not yet.
Tease.
Okay.
One.
Probably get him around Tupac.
We'll probably get him around there. We'll get him around there. Talk about some Tupac. He'll be like, yeah, man, and then after
that. But yeah, like played handball and soccer, everything. And then because everybody else, like a couple of buddies of mine that were in the same village, they started skiing. So like I always preferred like sports where there's not a huge team because you have to rely on so many people. You know what I mean? So I like followed skiing for a little bit and then was just sitting at home one night, flipping through channels and like came across the last 5 minutes of SmackDown, Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar and Big Show and like...
That's it.
The rest is history. I like kind of continued skiing a little bit after that, but just
how did you find skiing though? Like, how did you get like?
It's just because like there's so many mountains and skiing is a big thing in like Austria, right. Germany, like France, Italy, and stuff. And like a couple of buddies of mine were doing it, and I knew them, so like they just brought me along one time and like did okay, and then just followed that for a little bit. But as soon as I saw wrestling, like skiing was, whatever.
Yeah.
So the first time you hop on some skis, right?
We
play basketball and and football.
I don't know how stereotypical it is, but you don't see no skis up in here.
Right. So you're on that slope, and you're like, this is a whole bunch of snow and bunch of trees all over the place, and you're just like, good God, let's go! You know what I'm saying? You're just trying
to...
So like the first time you're on some skis, like you don't know, have no idea what you're doing.
I had no idea.
So you have like an instructor. How'd that first process begin?
So like a friend of my dad was the president of the skiing club of our little village. Mm-hmm. And my dad just asked him if he would mind taking me along one time just to try it out, you know, because I had shown interest. And he was like, whatever. But he's like a very straightforward businessman. I always looked at him as the Vince McMahon of my village. You know, he's like driven, always like, you know, keeps going. And he grabbed me along and we went to that big skiing resort. It's like one of the biggest ones in Italy. I just went like way to the top, and I always thought like usually you know when you start out you keep it shallow a little bit, and then like
pizza.
But we just kept going up and going up. And it's like, yeah,
is that a real thing? Can I go off South Park? Like your pizza when you shoot a French fry, it just goes really fast with the skis.
Well, you just do the pizza slice. Like, you just open the ends and then like you break. Yeah,
that's a real thing.
Well, like I didn't know that. But anyway, like we kept going past these shallow like tracks, and I was like, man, where's this guy taking me? And we just kept going up and up. And like first time I was on one of those lifts too. And when we got out, he just like put the ski on me and he was like, follow me. I was like, okay. And I just like kept going, and then I've seen somewhere doing the pizza slides, and I just like did it, and then we kept going, and like just from there I kept like training with them and going. And after I stopped skiing to make more money for wrestling, I like worked as a skiing instructor, like taught little kids how to ski, and like they all learned the little skiing.
So it was like, no, this like, you know, he didn't take it to like a little hill.
He's like straightforward.
It's like, all right, this like, little land right here. And this is a little tree. You can avoid this one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, I just move around. You know, now he took you out in the,
he took into like, cool borders.
Tall
mountain.
Ones. Yeah. Like,
and he said, all right, good luck. Let's follow me.
Yeah. If that's just the type of guy he is. He's just like, okay, let's go. Man. No nonsense, you know, but hey. Exactly. Like, sometimes it doesn't hurt getting thrown into cold water, honestly, you know.
But I'll tell you one thing. That really, if anything, makes your instincts, like...
Yeah, yeah.
To be, like, to be going down the slide and have to react like that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
There's just so many factors that come, like, the weather, you know, the consistency of the snow, if it's icy, and, like, how your skis are prepared and all that.
I wouldn't have thought that far.
Yeah. It's, like, it's, once you get to the racing thing, it's, like, millimeters and everything, so it's,
Wow.
But yeah,
You did that too?
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
Like, he's like, hold on, what?
How many medals?
Because they were all in the team back then, and I just started out, and like after that first time, I just kept training with them, and like just got the skis, got all the equipment, and then just kept going, kept training, and then yeah.
So like the pinnacle of that would be like Olympics or moving on.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
That's like where's the next levels to this?
Yeah.
Okay. Like we gotta go somewhere. Win the X Games, maybe something like that.
But that was always my goal until, like I said, I came across wrestling, and then I was just instantly knew it.
I funny thing, I loved watching X Games and playing the games. Never would have touched it though. For me.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
I'm like, snowboarding looks cool.
Yeah.
Not going to do it. No. But I love watching it. Like, that's one of my things.
Yeah, it was like skateboarding. When I see him going up and down that half pipe and all that, I'm like, how they getting to going up there?
Yeah, Bob Burnquist.
Yeah, because it's like you know, straight up, right?
Yeah, like, you know what I mean?
Oh, man, that just rang a bell. Yeah. I haven't heard this name in like at least 15 years.
I used to watch him compete, like, do big air and everything.
Isn't that the guy with the glasses?
Yeah.
I just know from Tony Hawk, like the games. You know?
Let's talk about it.
Oh. Hey, let's just talk about it. Yeah, let's go.
Wow.
Well, Fabian Aichner sucks. Oh, there you go.
He told me that before. Yeah.
No, like I remember Bob Burnquist specifically because he's the one that created that move, the Benihana. I remember that.
What was the Benihana? Like a trick?
It's one of the tricks that you do on the board. Like when you bring the board between your legs like that and you bring it back.
Because I
used to kill that move on Tony Hawk, bro. That used to be my go-to move. That and the Madonna. Remember the Madonna?
Oh, the foot. Even the foot. And like,
you
like
tell we're not.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
we're so, not like, yeah the thing with
you
the
You talk
thing.
About basketball? Yeah, we good. But,
yeah,
that's like.
But I just remember like, the video games was just like, I would just tap into with extreme sports and stuff like that. Tony Hawk, my guy. But do y'all play video games much?
You said
Call of Duty
nowadays.
Before.
Yeah, same. Yeah,
Call of Duty.
Yeah, I actually got off playing video games for a little while because I was like, I couldn't stop until I finished that one mission, and like, you know, so like, this is so good for me. And then like, you know, with knowing him and like just hanging out sometimes at home, I was just like, yeah, screw it, let's go.
So I have to preface this. There's two different type of Call of Duty players.
Yes,
there's. Okay, I'm just going to play with my bro because, you know, I know him. Mm-hmm. You know, if we cuss each other out, that's no problem.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my brother. I love him.
Right.
And then you get, like, multiplayer, playing with random people, hearing the most craziest stuff you'll hear playing against random people on Call of Duty. Are you guys those guys or you play with people you know?
We just play with people.
Real life tag team.
Yeah, right.
Like him,
building our
and
chemistry
I, hey.
Wherever we can, you know?
Okay.
Well, actually, I'm the type of guy, like, whenever nobody's online and I want to play, and the other guy is trying to talk to me, I just mute my microphone.
Oh,
I just act like
do
I don't have a microphone. Right there.
That's
the
most intimidating video game picture ever.
I wish that'd be me. Look at me. I'm always the guy like being like down, you know, waiting for somebody to get like revived. That's me.
What do you guys do? Like team deathmatch? What you guys play together?
Warzone.
Everybody's on Warzone.
Yeah. Okay. But man,
12-year-olds scare me in this game.
Yes.
They are
crazy,
great.
Right?
They have nothing but time, bro.
Not real.
The reflexes are crazy.
Yeah.
It's like the old argument, like,
especially
I ain't sharp
if you learn it. Yeah, at that age.
Yeah.
I told him, like, it doesn't make me angry that I lose. It makes me angry that the 5-year-old kid kicks my butt. Each and every round, you know? It's just crazy.
I think I played one, maybe two rounds with Daniel Vito, Conan Reeves, and EJ. Never again.
EJ's good, I heard.
He's just really ridiculous.
Good, yeah, he's.
Once you
good.
Get on streaming it level, I'm like, no, we're not friends. I can't play you in this.
Yeah, I know.
There's
no way.
Yeah. And then like, it's way too late for me to hop into it. Yeah. Now everybody's good.
I know.
Because it's way too late. Like Fortnite. Yeah, you should hop on Fortnite. They're in like season 9.
Yeah,
no. Everybody's good at the game.
I'm good. Chief. I'm good.
No, I fear, brother. It's exactly. We just said that, right? It's not even fun anymore. It's just, dude, like. We're not good enough to, you know, mess with those guys.
I just play with the homies. Like, we play games. I play with him. I play with a few other people.
Yeah.
A couple of my bros, and then that's it.
Bro, I'll tell you what, though. It's a nice way to get in touch or stay in touch with people right now,
right?
Because you can't really leave the house a lot of times and quarantines and blah, blah. You know, it's just a nice way to, like, you know, keep in touch with the boys.
Yeah, sure. We were talking about this the other day. Like, doesn't it feel like nowadays games are becoming way more stressful than they need to be.
Definitely.
I don't enjoy.
They're not as simple. Like, the less simpler they became, the more stressful it became. Mm-hmm.
Like, look at the graphics. Look at this. Look at this. It runs on this FPC. Like, I'm like, it's not fun,
bro.
I'm not having fun,
bro. Like, bro, I left the map. I saved it, and that tree grew back. Like, bro, I'm just like, hey, bro, like, there's the.
I'm not having fun.
Like, so, like that's the gameplay good?
That's exactly me.
Right,
like. Guys, I'm not having fun.
I'm like, this can't just be me having this misery.
I don't know what you guys are like.
I actually would have loved, I told him, like, I would love to do that Twitch thing, you know, play FIFA, play this and that. I just can't because I get really mad.
You're not
like, I get angry. I get really angry.
Like, Switch, like Wii and stuff like that?
Like, what?
Like, Wii, like, you're talking about, like,
like, twitching and streaming it.
Oh, I got you.
It's a Twitch, right?
I got
Twitch.
You. Yeah, okay.
Just streaming a little bit. I would love that, but, dude, no, I can't. Like, because I get really angry. Yeah. Like, it's obviously it's me being bad, you know, and not good. And all those kids are like kicking my butt online. So it just makes me very angry.
This the game you can play that you don't like get extremely angry. What's a game you play where you guys like, you know, you can't do it because you're just going to get mad?
FIFA. Like the soccer game?
Formula One for me.
It's mad for me, bro. That's the only game I get tight about. I don't get tight about nothing else but football.
Man.
And that's not even my number one thing, bro.
I tell you what, honestly, you got to teach me how to play Madden because I played Madden before. I just
got sticks right out there.
I just don't get the rules. Like, I don't get the rules. Like, you know, Europe, or like us Germans especially, we don't have no football teams and nothing. I have no idea.
Reps with it, you'll be like, oh yeah, don't do this. Okay.
Right.
Sometimes the game's just going to do it anyway, though. But
I would play with my friends back in the day, and whenever like somebody would actually catch that thing, we would freak out because, like, you know, it's like 100 tries, like, you know, 99 go, you know, so.
It took them 2 days to talk to me after one game of Madden.
Oh, really?
We always go down. We go down to wire and everything.
Everything.
Oh,
like, I'm so used to it. I'm so used to losing now to the bottom.
Oh,
but like, before, like, we go down to the wire. Because, you know, it took me a while. He used to dust me. So then I, you know, you get used to playing somebody. You get used to the playing style.
Yeah,
so
figure it out,
then the games got really competitive. And it was the only game. I was like, look, everybody has a game they play where it's like a test of your friendship. Like, it's going to test your friendship. Like, I don't care how tight you are. It's that one game you play with your bro where it's like, all right, this is like, it's going to get so competitive. We're going to say something crazy to each other. like it's like, but we played and every game went down to the wire. And I'm like, it was one game. He beat me on the last play.
It's literally 30 seconds left.
30 seconds left. He's like, this is bomb. And then he's like, I had him. I had him by a touchdown. Like, I had him. I was like, this game's done. In my head, I was like, but this guy is the comeback king. Like, I'm the crunch time guy. I'm the guy to like be down and then like I'll just come back.
Right,
but then he does that to me, and I'm not used to it.
Right.
So,
it's bad.
So
I don't dominate anything. I'm the underdog in everything. I'm like, but that last punch, I got him. Yeah.
I'm just like, and then
I'm that one.
Then it was this one game he beat me, and I was like, you know what, bro? I just logged out. I said,
yeah. I was like, hey, good game, right? Hello. I was even going on.
Signs off.
Nope.
What tests y'all friendship? What really is like the one thing that comes between y'all? Like, all right, if we can get past this, we can get through anything.
We are both like, how do you say that? Like
stubborn. Sometimes.
Stubborn, I guess. Yeah. If we believe in something, we're gonna fight for it and stand up for it. I think we're almost known as like an old, how do you say, like an old couple.
Yeah.
We fight. Like, we fight. The thing is, like, we can't fight as bad, that, like, in a way where we never get back to each other, you know?
Yeah.
But we're both passionate about the stuff, about a lot of things, you know, especially about wrestling.
Oh, look at this.
Man, I hate that.
Christian Mingle.
That wasn't England. Man.
Great picture.
That's that dating site. Like, you have to date both of us at the same time.
You get one.
I was just waiting for, somebody to say that.
I love this.
So you guys say like kind of being stubborn, like it's give and take in any relationship though, like it's give and take.
Exactly. And I feel like once like you hang out so much, you get to a point where like you're just honest, you know, and you say what you think. And like honestly, most of the times where we like have to fight is like, I don't know, if we're really passionate about like stuff when it comes to like in the ring or whatever, you know, like stuff that we really believe in. And but we always, like you said, we always like find a way to get back and like be cool with each other again. And then just, I don't know. Like, I always said from day one, I feel like there's, like, a reason that, like, we both, like, crossed paths. And, like, it's become more and more clear, so.
Well, that also is a good thing, in a way. Because
with
your brothers, whoever you go to war with, you don't need no pushovers. You know
That's
what I mean?
The thing. Yeah,
We even, exactly. Okay, we might
This is cool, but go back to that last picture.
We might, you know, tic-tac with each other, but you know you have someone that you can go to war with and you could trust. And exactly I would rather have those stubborn arguments with someone you know you can go to war with and you know that's going to have your back. You know what I mean?
I got
that. As opposed to someone that sure, you know, though, is always going to cower, and then you're like, nah.
But a picture like this, y'all don't need to go nowhere else. Y'all need to go back to each other. This is fate. You know, like y'all greeting me to go to heaven.
Look at that. Like, cameras don't lie.
Like, look at that. Look at this Sean back here. Like, they're like, God is right behind us. Right. Like,
trying to answer this riddle. Go up.
Man.
That was in England, right?
For the newspaper? Yeah, it was a newspaper, like, interview.
Dude, we tried to, like, pull up all those, like, heelish, like, you know, faces. Like, no, give me a normal one. Just one. You know, we're not going to use it. It's okay. I'm going to... Okay.
So how long are you
on this? Next day, bro. 2 seconds. Next day, right here. Everybody...
So stay on this topic for, like, how long, like, y'all been, like, tight? Like, how long y'all been, like, friends?
Bro, it's funny. We never met each other before we actually got here. We would work for the same promotions in Germany, in England, but we never met each other. So we heard from each other, but we never met each other. And then we were supposed to drive in the same car, right? But you were over here a week early, I think.
It was actually like, first time we met was the day when we both started here in WWE. But I had just flown over like 5 or 6 days earlier to get like my apartment and stuff sorted. Yeah. And like, I didn't even know about it, but like WWE had booked the rental car for the both of us. Because they must have assumed, well, both speak German. They probably ride together. And but I didn't know that. So the day before we started out, he sent me an email that he was in the hotel airport. And like, I remember when I pulled up, I was like, I looked at him. I was like, for some reason, I had this feeling like, there's got to be a reason this guy is coming into my life right now. And then we just like, we drove to the PC. Yeah. Look at it.
I'm thinking about the right melody. Like, what is it?
It's a theme song.
Man.
Jurassic Park is playing in the background.
Bro, Fabian's like, if we ever get in the ring, Swerve, I got something for you.
Oh, we have.
Yeah, we've been there like once or twice.
Yeah, a couple times.
Yeah, a couple times.
You know?
Yeah. Absolutely. No, man, seriously, like, drove to the PC, started talking, best buddies right after, and then just...
That's the great feeling. That's when you feel like you're going to face challenges. Going forward after that, but it's good to know, like, all right, at least he's going to be like, I have him to fall back on. He can fall back on me. We're tight going through this, because going through all this, man, I swear you need someone to confide in and just be like, hey, like, can I trust you with this information, my emotions, my mental, what's going on? It's good to have that, because he's going through the same thing you are going through. So y'all can literally vibe off of each other, and that builds y'all strength
to get through
anything.
Right.
You need that. I keep thinking of the movie 1917. Like, have y'all seen that?
No. I've not personally, man. No.
Phenomenal movie. Went to the movie theater to see it. Great movie. But it's like these two guys, Germany, actually. They have to cross the... they're at war.
Must be First World War, yeah.
Yes. And
Is it like the Dunkirk story or something like that?
Not Dunkirk. Mm-hmm.
I think that's a movie that's just shot like always in one goal, right?
Yeah. But it's some two guys, man, and they have to cross over and relay this message and stuff. Yeah. And just like, one dude is like very like, yes, great movie. One dude's just very like just talking about all his problems, all his issues and everything. And now he's like, I don't think we should do this. This is a bad idea. And he's like, no, come on, man. We got to do this, man. My brother's over there. We got to get over there. I got to do this. Like, so they go through all this stuff, like bombs going off. There's only them two. They have no backup. They have no, nobody's going to help them.
Wow.
They can't be seen, because if they get seen, they're dead. They're just going through all this, just crawling through all this stuff. Don't want to spoil it, but something happens to an individual in the film, and now his words that he told him he has to carry on alone, and without him having those words and like encouraging him, he wouldn't have been able to carry on and actually complete it.
Just
because he motivated him, it was like, come on, man, we gotta do this, because if like, and the one dude wanted to turn back, like literally they got right over the line, they're like, no, we need to abort, man. No, we can't.
Right.
And then that, it's a really good story. So I encourage you guys to watch it, especially being the war and talking about your father and everything. That's a good recommendation for you guys.
I get confronted with that stuff all the time, so, you know, I'm good. I know most of the movies, though. I know. Well, I tell you what, being a German and American, you're either that or you're like the Lederhosen guy, you know, doing weird dances. So, it's either or, bro. There's not much in between, to be honest.
All right, so we got to get to this before we get into the fun stuff. We already been having a good old fun time. We got to talk about y'all winning the NXT Tag Team Championships, you know, against Matt Riddle, Timothy Thatcher. Crazy circumstances, being that was like really the first time we started like quarantining and doing a lot of the no audience events and stuff. Yeah. But did that feeling take anything away from this moment for you? Even though we didn't have the arena, the full sale arena, we didn't have like a takeover, we didn't have any of that stuff. But did that not matter to you guys? Just the fact that y'all are holding these tag team championships up?
Well, man, like, obviously, it's always great to have the audience there, you know, reactions, like, is what I think makes it all that much better, but, like, honestly, like, for me, when we got into the ring and this happened, like,
to me, it's always 110% real, so no matter how it happened, like, it did happen, that's what matters the most, yeah. Like, it's been a long time coming, so it was a very special moment, and, like, I'm proud of it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like, you know how it is, like, everywhere in the wrestling business, like, highs can be super high. Sometimes you're just over the moon and everything is cool. But sometimes lows are super low too, right? Mm-hmm. And we're one of the guys who actually, if you look at the
champions, since the Street Profits, there weren't really champions who didn't come in big in NXT. So if you look at the way Undisputed Era had their debut, that wasn't big. Came in, hard. You know, Adam came in there, boom. That was like the last shot of those three guys, so that was quite a debut, right?
Yeah.
When we started at the PC 3 years ago, we started like somebody who never took a step in the ring before. Like, absolute, like, you know, rookies. Because some of the guys, and you know that, like some of the Chinese guys, Indian guys, whoever, wherever they're from, they never wrestled before. Some of them haven't even seen wrestling. They have no idea who Hulk Hogan is, who Bret Hart is, who Shawn Michaels is. They don't know that. You know what I mean? So we were one of the guys, or like, yeah, we were the guys who got treated like that too. So we started, both of us were wrestling for 10 years before, right?
Yeah.
And we voluntarily said, dude, we're gonna start from the bottom. Because A, we don't really have a choice. You know what I mean? If you don't come in very big, like, you got to work your butt off, right?
Yeah.
And second, that goes back to the things my dad taught me and Imperium preaches. It is part of the journey. There's you got to struggle, right? And you got to suffer and all that kind of stuff. But after that struggle and that suffering, there are going to be those victories and there are going to be that success right there, right? So for me, that moment, I didn't think about no fans being in there. I didn't think about anything that happened in the match. I thought of the last 3 years because we did everything from security to holding the cameras to building the rings and everything because we wanted to do that, right?
Yeah.
Dude, we did so many extra sessions. We built so many rings and we never complained about it. And I would never complain about it because that's part of the journey for us, right? But we are one of the guys who went through all that stuff, through all the stages, through all the tiers in the PC, worked our butts off and won the titles. And that was my moment. It wasn't about the titles. It was about us starting from here in Robbie Brookside's class. You know what I mean? Yep. In the very beginner's class with guys who never wrestled before, worked our butts off to get up to the point where we would get great matches, you know, against Alistair and Ricochet.
Yeah. We had a good couple of good matches here and there.
And then they would use us for, like, stuff. You and Dio.
Yeah.
They would know. We would pull off a great match, right? But it never happened on TV. It happened like somewhere in Jacksonville or this and that, which is cool, bro. We had the time of our lives there. Exactly. Amazing. But that moment just gave us the good job, guys. Yep, thank you for the work. You did a great job the last 3 years. Here you go. And that was the, like the that reward, was the hell yeah. That was all worth it. You know. Man. So it was amazing.
I should save that one for closing that out. We're going to move on to TV table.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Keep teasing things.
I wonder, I don't know. So you talked a little bit about Eminem earlier, man, and about music. So who are some of your guys' like other top artists? Who are some people that you guys like really like? I mean, it could be from any genre. Some people that people could, check out, like, hey, I like this person, that person? You said Eminem. Anybody else?
I love Eminem. I love Tupac. Obviously, I love B.I.G. I love Nate Dogg. When that dog, Nate Dogg died, bro, that was crazy.
Hip-hop is still not recovered from it. It's still not recovered.
It is crazy. Honestly, like, my favorite album was Music and Me. Dude, I love this album. One of my best friends in Germany, Roman, we would listen to that. Whenever we would go out, we would listen to that album like 2 hours before. Like up and down and everything. I don't know. The way he sounds, his voice gives me like that certain feeling. I can't even tell you. It's just like sitting down with the boys, you know, having a drink, chilling. It's just, it's like, right there. It's flipping that switch, you know. I just love it.
Is that one like, that one got I Got Love on there?
I got love.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That plays on Boondocks every episode.
This dude was on your hook. This dude was on your hook. You guaranteed a hit.
Nobody does it better. Dude, that's a great one. I love that one.
Guaranteed a hit. This guy laces your hook up. You like it's a cheat code. You can say anything on the verse. It don't even matter.
Yep.
Like you can bat, cat, hat, snap, though, but the hook come in, that's it.
Yep.
That guy was but he would the thing about him, he's one of the few people, he would overshadow you though. Like you had to be a great rapper
to even matter with a hook like him.
Because the hook come in, people start singing the hook.
Right.
And Snoop did his thing, and you know, he rapped with a lot of West Coast guys and stuff, but he always stood out on every song he was on.
It was so recognizable too, right?
Yeah.
I feel like his voice would always stand out. Like you could listen to like 100 voices, but Nate Dogg's, just like Snoop too. Snoop Dogg's like voice, whenever you hear it, like, you know who it is.
Right.
You know, like.
So how did, like, it's funny how like he still managed to mesh with like an Eminem on Shake That.
Shake That.
These are two different chemicals that shouldn't be mixing, but somehow
this guy is a genius, man.
It's so weird.
I love him. I love all this stuff. Like I said, 2132. I love that.
213, the group.
Snoop Dogg.
Warren G. Wow. Group and love. Yeah. Yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. What about you, Fabian? What's up?
Well, obviously, like, all the stuff he just mentioned, because he got me on that. But other than that, like, I love all kinds of music, like, classics mostly. But, like, I don't know, AC/DC to Queen to Madonna to Phil Collins to...
freaking range.
Everything, you know, like, all that. I'm not a big fan of German music, I have to say. And he's trying to get me there, but he's shown me a couple of good ones, so I'm, like, warming up a little bit to that.
Getting there, slowly but surely.
What is it about it that you don't like?
I don't know. I just always thought like,
he just got a little swag.
I just don't know.
I'm too tired. All right,
look at the swag here. Can
any
Germans?
Yeah, like
no, hell no.
Even as a kid, whenever I listened to like English music, it always sounded cool, and I was like, I don't know, that's just like it's the right vibe, you know? Maybe because I always wanted to move here. I don't know. It was just always been something about it.
You had your mind made up. You was like, I'm not giving this no shot.
Bottom line is, Fabian always wanted to be American. That's the bottom line.
He's coming along very well.
What are some of the best you guys went to a lot of any concerts? Any of your favorite concerts you guys were gone to?
Only German artists, really.
No American.
This is the worst time right now for you guys because you could be hitting so many concerts, but
I feel like I'm over my concert time. I like concerts.
Nah, unless the Toast War City is live, then you know that's a whole other conversation.
Oh yeah.
So we're live. Concert, we're talking about concert. It's you like, stand there for like two, 3 hours. Yeah. That's not my thing. Whenever I have to stand somewhere for 2-3 hours, I'm out. Like I don't.
Yeah, then you go to like the hip hop shows.
I'm the guy who sits down, and then when like my favorite song comes, I'm like, hell yeah, let's go, and then I sit down again.
So
like,
you want to test your love for hip hop? Go to them shows where there's like six openers. You don't know who anybody is.
You go to like, do I stand yet?
And he's sitting there, and these guys rapping their heart out, and these guys is trash. And you're like, all right, let's get to the main event. I came to see Snoop Dogg.
Please.
And then there's just like a whole bunch of people, openers, local guys from the city that you don't know. And then they might have one, like Snoop has an artist he wants to debut. You don't care who this guy is. Yeah. And then they get to Snoop, and you're like, then they get to Jen and Juice. You're like, okay, I waited 6 hours. Let's get to this song. You know what I mean? And then
Snoop, I know this one.
And then Snoop is tired. He gives you 30 minutes. You're like, what? I stood in front. I was front row for a 50 Cent concert, and I stood there for 3 hours. This man was so late, but I stood there.
He's Snoop Dogg. I mean,
and it was a great show.
He gets away with it, right?
Yeah, well, 50 Cent gave a great show. But I stood there in front with my homies for 3 hours.
Are you talking about 50 right now?
Yeah, well, a concert that I went to.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
A concert that I went to. It's like the live experience of seeing some of these shows, man, it makes the music so much better. Because the true test of an artist a lot of times is seeing them live. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah, can you feel that energy?
Can you feel them? Mm-hmm. Can they give you a good show? Mm-hmm. Can they give you an hour, like Michael Jackson, Prince? These guys just give you an hour and a half, 2 hour shows.
Yeah.
Full energy, no breaks. You know?
I don't understand how that.
I don't know how they did it.
I don't know.
Michael Jackson was sweating off of
first two songs.
Yes.
Sweating, crazy. Drenched.
And you look on YouTube, you see the time of the show, it was like 2 hours. How?
Man. Dude, do you remember that scene from Man in Black? Where they actually say that Michael Jackson is an alien?
Yeah.
I still kind of believe in that.
Yeah. it's crazy.
Bro, you sweat on like song two. We didn't even get to Thriller yet.
Bro, like Michael Jackson, Michael Jordan, like those kind of guys, I'm not sure if they're entirely human, bro.
There's definitely just too a level good. Above it.
Just too good, you know?
All right, so 50 versus T.I. is coming up on the IG battles.
Must be 50, right? Like for me at least. Ooh. Like, okay, for me, being from Germany... Back when he, the album Get Rich or Die Trying, everybody had it. Everybody. He was like the coolest guy. He was like the coolest guy, right?
The very beginning when the coin flip, I do the coin flip noise, bro. I know the whole thing.
Click, clack.
Click, clack. I know all that.
Many Man and all those. Yeah. Like, great, great. Yeah. Back in that day, like, my two favorite rappers were 50 Cent and DMX. DMX, fair. Like, was probably my biggest hero. Like, I would watch all those movies like
Never Die Alone and all
that. Never Die was great.
Wounds or whatever with Steve Seagal and stuff. And I always thought, I don't know why, but I always thought that DMX is that like 6'3 super jacked guy. He's really not. No. He's like a small dude. Yeah. But I always thought because he's like that tough guy and walking in, he does his barking and everything. He's like, you know.
He's barking.
Dude, he's barking.
He must be jacked.
You know? Like, you know?
Yeah, bro.
To bark that way, you gotta be jacked. Like, that's what I thought.
Rewatch that Rough Riders Anthem video again. He's standing on the car for a reason.
Yeah. Rough Riders. Yeah. I even had that little chain back in there. That's crazy.
Bro. DMX had, like, full belief for short guys. He was, like, the little man's complex, like, king, bro.
I loved him.
People loved him, bro.
I loved him. That album, Grand Champ.
But, I don't know, like, a lot of people at the time wanted to be 50. Nobody really wanted to be T.I.
I mean, look at 50. Look at 50, though. I mean, like I feel like...
Versus cool, 50, there was a whole wave.
In the South, a lot of guys was copying, bro. Yeah. I'm telling you, dog. If you were here, you had to be here.
I mean, there was a lot of this going on.
You should see how many people had the T.I. they had in high school.
Oh, my God. It was bad. Yeah. It was bad.
I was going to school up north, and it was like them little ugly tank tees.
Yeah.
All tight like that. Everybody wore them. Couldn't fill them out.
You ever tried to T.I. your hat and it fell off?
The wind blew one up. What the? Kill us now.
Like, there was two people, like, in the South areas. Everybody, like, a lot of people copied. It was him and it was Nelly. I can't not tell you how many grown men I seen with that Band-Aid on their face. I'm like, fam, if you do not take that off, bro. Like, I saw so many people with that. You know, tomorrow is Snoop versus DMX.
That is tomorrow. So that's not official yet, though.
No, right? 50 didn't take it.
Of course not.
Of course. He's going to troll on Instagram.
As far as longevity, T.I. wins that.
Yeah.
Really?
Longevity.
Yeah, T.I.'s got a lot of music.
As far as hits, longevity.
Yeah,
hits.
Longevity, bro.
Oh, he had like the mainstream hits though, right? I
mean, yeah.
It's gone off like 10, 15 years. It's like, it's been a grit over a decade.
His was like a good strong four.
Mm. What was the other one? Snoop against whom? Did he just say Snoop against DMX or something?
Huh?
Did he just say Snoop against DMX or something?
Snoop and DMX, yeah. They're battling tomorrow on Instagram.
Nobody can beat Snoop, right?
No.
Nobody can.
As far as songs.
Who's supposed to beat Snoop?
Too, yeah.
Snoop's got a lot of music, bro.
We're going back to early, like, mid-90s.
What does DMX have? Like, three? Like, that? Like Party Up, obviously. X Gonna Give It To Ya.
Then you got to go into, like, soundtracks with, like, Romeo Must Die with Aaliyah.
Romeo Must Die,
stuff.
Yeah, good.
It kind of goes that way. It was...
you got a Aaliyah track,
if
man.
If you gotta pull out your hottest 20, you can't pull out the number 7 that nobody know about. You gotta pull out your best artillery. You know what I mean? Oh, you and your bro love this song, but you are millions with Instagram. People are like, what song is this? You and your bro going crazy, but they're like, what are you playing? Snoop got this round.
Yeah. Like, totally. Yeah.
This is a beat I made in my basement back in the day. It was hot back then.
This was hot.
You want to begin dropping like it's hot, man? Get that.
This
here.
Is me, an elephant man.
Beanie Man featuring. I'm trying to think of like a think of a post 2010 DMX song that's a hit.
Post 2010. Wasn't he all like locked up? Like after 2005 or something, whatever. I googled him; he was always in prison, so I don't know.
But post 2010, it's like Snoop can go on for a while.
Yeah,
he did like a lot of pop.
Sensual
things, like,
seduction.
Yeah, like even like, Katy Perry and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Everybody on social media is like, if
he always
played,
kept doing stuff somewhere. Like, he always kept.
You can put more
stuff
in there.
Somewhere, man.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, if he plays Sensual Seduction, God bless DMX and what he plays after that. Because it's going to be hard to top that. Doggone bite!
Who did he clothesline against, Snoop Dogg? He clotheslined somebody, right? Who did he clothesline against?
Probably Chavo Guerrero. Because he's the one that
always got
Chavo, beat up
by. Right? Who
was it? Oh, yeah, yeah. I think it was Chavo, yeah.
He's always the one that got beat up by celebrities.
I love that. Like, how people who are not wrestlers, they get ready for it. You can see it in their eyes. Like, okay.
This is my moment.
One shot. They get ready for 15 seconds and then they do it like in half a second. It's just funny. Doesn't matter what Snoop does though. He's always style, always cool.
Who's your greatest? Who's like your GOAT? Your number one of all time. Like that person is that person. He has M. You know who's
my GOAT is Kanye.
Oh, it's Kanye. Kanye.
But it's rough. I feel like when it comes to that gimmick aspect I was talking about, it's Eminem. I feel like when it comes about like to being almost like a preacher, almost like a poet, it's Tupac. There's not a beat in the world where B.I.G. is not coming in. Everybody's like, oh. So when you talk about flow, I guess nobody beats Biggie in my opinion.
Like pure talent, he was amazing.
When it comes to like just me, like my personal tastes. I'd probably say Tupac, just because I'm always more with Imperium, same thing, more about the craft itself, like more about the skill, more about the, not so much about the delivery, but more about the craft itself. You know,
break his heart about the Tupac analysis.
Okay. Oof. Don't kill me.
Oof. Let me get ready.
Okay.
My first Swedish fish.
Now, this is the thing, right? As a guy who loves this, we break things down and like we look at like flaws of everyone because everyone has them,
right?
Yeah,
everyone has them, right? So me and my friend one day was having this long conversation, and I was like, "Man, Pac did this, Pac did that, Pac did this," and then he was like,
"What didn't he do?"
And then, one day he was like, Pac is notorious for putting the homies on the track, and you have no idea who these people are. Pac would just put anybody on a song.
And make a song about anything.
What's your song? What you said? You said, kill them all. That's the name of the song. You spit the hook. We gonna rap about whatever. And I'm gonna rap my verse, and that's it.
Mm, just to get the project done.
People right, would feel that like he would have strong records, like a Dear Mama.
So
Brenda's Got a Baby. But then it could be a couple of ones on the album where it's just everywhere. You know what I mean? Hennessy till I die, Pac. Yeah, I told you, Pac. And you're like, who's this? what's his name?
I never thought about that. Well, yeah.
And then everybody on the feature always had to co-sign Pac. Everybody had to big him up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then like then they end up on Vlad interviews like 5 years later. They're like, yeah, I was around when Pac was like, who, where? Like, went on the security tape, I was right there with the red shoes. Yeah, I said homie on that one track. Yeah, that was
yeah, man. I was on, you know, I was on
and
that.
They get interviews from it. I'm like, why is it so close views?
Homie on the one.
Yeah,
they was like, you know, well, yeah. Once Pac left the studio, I just laid my verse. You know what I'm saying?
He's like, Pac gone. All right, here go.
Then Pac, you know, he didn't know it was on the album, but I put it on there, I let my verse on, you know what I'm saying? But that was something about the Tupac analogy was like how great he was when he was focused. A focused Tupac was remarkable. But he would go into the Rush syndrome where he would just pick stuff
and just
get the album done.
Right.
But like that's why people say like Me Against the World, the album before he went to jail.
Right.
The first time
was
like his best body of work. That was his most focused before he knew. That was the one that had Dear Mama on it.
And you try meeting these record label deadlines with Suge Knight above your shoulder.
I know you have like a
got 30 days. Get on the song. Come on, rap.
That's the same thing they would say about like a Prince though. Prince would drop an album every year. And you're like, bro, what? Like, do you have that much to talk about? from 1978 to 1990, he dropped an album every year at least. That's 10 songs. Music.
It's crazy, yeah.
It's too much music.
Obviously, if the quantity goes up that much, like the quality is going to suffer.
You're on tour.
Point.
You're already on tour six months out the year.
At the end of the day, who's talking about those? People will always pick their top five.
Right.
People will always pick, like, I don't know, Gangsta Party. Will always, like, Letter to My Unborn Child and, like, Changes and, like, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know?
But his singles were so strong.
Yeah.
They'd be on a 25-song album.
Number one, Hennessy. Number two, Misery. An amazing. The one thing I do wish was I wish they both was alive. They really get Biggie and Pac on the same song after all that ended.
My God.
And after all the problems ended, and for them to when they were young, because they both were 25 when they passed.
That's another thing. They were so young.
Like, I'm 31. I'm like, they were so much
up to that point. Yeah. Imagine what they could have done,
The whole world was like looking at them, right? It was so crazy. So much pressure and everything.
Yeah.
Dude, and like, crazy. For a kid from Germany, by the way, like, thinking about what life those guys lived is just unimaginable to me. Because those guys were actually afraid to get shot outside. Or were not, because you would just mess around everywhere and get shot. Like, you got shot twice, right? Once in that elevator thing, Mike Tyson fight was the lethal one,
I think. The lethal one, yeah.
Right? And then he got shot before, right? After that, he got the Hit Him Up song, right?
He got grazed. Yeah, he got grazed by a bullet. And
exactly.
And that he healed.
Why bullets even flying?
Dude, that's like crazy to me.
It's crazy, because everybody that knows him would be like, oh, he got shot, he'll be all right. That's crazy. When you say that about somebody.
That was a normal thing.
That's how you know you're like Superman. Oh, Pac will survive. He'll be all right.
Dude, that's crazy.
Like, Meg Thee Stallion got shot yesterday. What are you talking about?
That is crazy. I remember like back in the day in the school, people would ask you like, East Coast or West Coast? Germany, right?
Midwest.
That's ridiculous. Like, I have no idea who's West Coast. I have no idea who's East Coast. But apparently back in the day, you would get beat up if you're East Coast.
Like,
so I don't know why. I can't tell you why.
You live with your grandmother,
you East Coast?
You live with your grandmother on the South Side. Why are you asking me?
Especially in Germany, where nobody ever held a gun in their hand or anything, you know? But what I wanted to say is just, to me, it's crazy how those young men, 25, lived a life and I think, like, in fear sometimes, probably.
Because, he lived the life of a 40-year-old, 50-year-old man.
That's crazy.
Yeah. At 25.
That is so crazy to me.
Not
right?
to mention, he was so good at acting, too.
Well, he always seemed fine, right? Whenever he had, like,
actual movies. He was good in that, too.
Movies?
Yeah.
Right. I've never seen a Tupac movie, I think.
Oh, Juice.
Poetic Justice.
Go watch
Juice.
It. It's on Netflix now. Juice, I would say.
Gridlock, I think.
Juice. You go to Juice.
Yeah.
You go to Juice.
Juice is his best performance.
Poetic Justice.
Juice is his best performance.
I've seen this new dog movie, Car Wash.
Let's do a versus on rapper movies.
Which one is it? Health Baked with Chappelle?
What rapper's in that?
What
rapper's in that?
The Chappelle and Snoop Dogg.
But it's mostly Dave Chappelle's movie.
Yeah.
And Half Baked?
Yeah.
Where's Snoop at?
He's just in a cameo role.
I don't remember it. See?
To me, that was great back in the day. I liked it. I have no idea.
Oh, you know, back in the days, back in the early 2000s, it'd be like every rapper would get jacked and be in like a horror movie.
Yeah. Busta was in Halloween, bro. Letting that go.
Yeah.
I'll never let that go. He did. He gave him the pause.
Mm. Busta was another one, by the way. I love Busta Rhymes.
Busta's incredible.
Was awesome. An incredible.
Awesome thing. Videos, too.
Him and Missy, bro.
Videos.
Him and Missy
crazy.
Elliott, bro. They are in a stage by themselves when it comes to music videos.
Awesome. I love them.
Yeah.
Especially as features. What was the Mariah Carey one?
I Know What You Want.
Was the exactly.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Man.
Awesome stuff. About time we wrap this up because we got to get y'all out of here. Man, I wanted to bring this up earlier, but I think this is always better to do this at the end of the show when we wrap things up. We always talk about things that y'all had to overcome. You discussed making it to NXT, winning the WWE NXT Tag Championships together, but you had your lows as well. What are some lows that you can talk about if you're comfortable with? That you can just reminisce and remember fondly and then discuss getting out of that. What were the things you had to do? The things you had to, like, what are some advice for anybody that's listening and watching that maybe have gone through some things themselves? What are some things that they could do? Like, maybe you can inspire them to get out of what they're going through at the moment right now. Because this is a really down time with how the world's going. People losing jobs, people losing their minds, being in home in quarantine, people losing family members with COVID, you know. So what are some inspirational words you'd say, like, from personal experiences coming out of your lows?
I mean, to me, I always looked at it kind of like, sometimes, like, we all have been through, like, a period of time where just, like, everything just doesn't seem to click, right? It just, yeah. That goes wrong, this goes wrong, and you just, like, feel like everything's going that way.
It just domino effects.
Exactly, yeah. It just keeps happening, man. And then, like, I don't know, I always kind of looked at it as, like, the life's way of testing you, like, how bad do you want it? You know, are you going to get through this, or, like, what are you going to do? It's sink or swim. So I just always thought, like, if you just grit your teeth, I know it's hard sometimes, like, in the moment, obviously, but if you just, like, grit your teeth and, like, think about why you're doing what you're doing and just keep going, go day by day. And, like, I'm a very positive person. I think that helps. Just, like, I don't know, see the glasses half full and just keep grinding. Like, eventually the tide's going to turn and then just good things are going to keep happening. That's what I believe in.
Yeah, I feel like keep grinding. And I think Shawn Michaels actually said something to us which makes a lot of sense to me. Stop worrying about things that you can't control or that you don't control, right? Yeah. Some things you can't, they're not in your hands, and you can't control some things, you know. Stop worrying about those. I feel like, just like you just said, never stop grinding and just work your butt off. Because at the end of the day, even if things not going to turn out as you want them to turn out, you still did everything you could, right?
Yeah.
Couldn't have done a better job. So I feel like I always looked at it that way. If I, at my last day of my life, I can say, hey, man, I tried everything, you know, I couldn't have done a better job, then I'm happy, you know, yeah. Because all the other things you can't control.
As they say, you know, you can't control how the river run, you can paddle, you can do all the paddling, you can try to control the current all you want to, but at some point you're going to have some faith, and then that's it.
Right.
It's going to rely on faith.
And I feel like if you believe in that, you know, and if you try to be a good human being, I feel like everything happens for a reason. Everything is going to come to you eventually.
Absolutely.
Not always when you want it, right away, but, you know, so far, everything has turned out pretty good, you know.
And it's going to get better. We're in a hard time right now. We just got to... Once again, we got it. We're in a grit our teeth moment.
Right,
it's not going to be forever. Pray to God, it's not going to be forever. But I have faith, it's not.
Right,
we got to grit our teeth and we got to push forward. We're going to get through this. And one way you can get through this and help pass the time and maybe motivate yourself is listening to these guys on the Swerve City Podcast. There's only one place you can listen to it: youtube.com/Swerve City Podcast on YouTube. Subscribe. And pledge on Patreon if you want to get these episodes early, a couple days early, for everybody else. Go to patreon.com/Swerve City Podcast. Where can they find you on social media? Plug your stuff.
So for me, it's just Fabian.Eichner, WWE, on both Instagram and Twitter. Give us a follow. We're always happy to interact with our fans, and I'll see you there.
Yeah.
Right. Marcel.Bartel.WWE.
And a new Imperium rap album coming soon, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. There it is.
We're about to drop the hottest.
Shout out Rich Latta, producer.
Yes.
Producing the new album.
Yes, sir.
New album, GPS. Yes, slash sir. Erica Sun. Coming this fall.
Coming this fall, man. Mike, you put up the graphic real quick, my dog.
That should be a default. Just bow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. End of every episode.
You know what I mean? We just dropped a new single. You know what I mean? We just dropped the new classic. There's currently two singles out right now for the album, Black Boy, which you guys saw the last
episode with the Ruby Riot MVP that came out a couple weeks ago. And then, right after that, 1087-7162. I have to look at it every time because I can't remember it. We dropped.
You'll get there.
Well, I'll get there. We dropped this this beauty off the GPS part of the album. If you guys please go check that out. It was an amazing thing. My brother shined on this record. I'm very, very proud of him. He killed this. And it is an amazing, amazing song. Make sure you guys go to all digital platforms. You know, your iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. You know what I mean? It's only 99 cents. I mean, you can just, you know, come on now. You guys can't spend a dollar? Spend dollars on worse, you know what I mean? And cop the stream it, share it, like it, all right, that. We appreciate it. You know what I mean?
You can't find it. It's on the Source City YouTube. YouTube, Twitter, IG. Check it out.
Check it out, man. So, nice, so you guys support what we have going on, and we thank you, and we appreciate you.
And as always, be confident in everything you do.
Wash your ass.
But you're going to get a pop-pop.